The sun goes down, the stars come out, and all that counts is here and now. My universe will never be the same. I'm glad you came. I'm glad you came.
You are listening to Paramania Radio.
You are on a spiritual path right now. Whether you know it or not, you are exploring the ways that your soul works in this world. Wednesdays at 10 p.m. on Great Conjunction, we explore the ways that our souls grow and that our worlds expand. There are as many paths to the divine as there are people on this planet, and 7 billion people, that's a lot to explore. Wednesdays at 10 p.m. only on Paramania Radio. Bring the light to the paranormal.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Paramania, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
You are listening to Paramania Radio.
It's now time for Soul Food. Starring Jody Kim as Jody and Beth Hambridge as Doom.
And welcome to Soul Food here on Paramania Radio. I hope everybody had a wonderful, wonderful weekend as we approach the almost, I don't want to say the end of August, but we're almost there, right, Dune? I mean, it's already the 12th of August. Before you know it, it'll be Labor Day. The kids will be going back to school, and we'll be having Thanksgiving, Halloween, Christmas, and all the fun glory days of winter.
Oh, joy, oh, bliss.
How's that for a positive thing?
I'm so groggy. I'm on day 3 of 16 in a row, so like this changing my schedule midstream just does not work very well. I work days today and tomorrow, and I'm like, huh?
Well,
I didn't get my 1 o'clock nap.
I did. I read that. You see, we get so used to doing things, right? We could be getting our own little routine, and then if something disrupts it, it throws you off course.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a creature of habit, so I don't like having my schedule changed.
Yeah. But anyway, so tonight we have a great show. We have with us his name is John Fowler. And he is the founder of the Midnight Watchmen, which is, and I think they're having an event that's coming up also, and they will, you know, he'll tell us all about that and what's going on. But the goal of the Midnight Watchmen, you know, is to investigate paranormal happenings and urban myths, which I kind of like, because how many times have we talked about urban myths?
Yes, we like our urban myths.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to hear, you know, what he has to say about some myths. Let's just bring him on and let's rock and roll with the show.
Sounds like a plan.
So welcome, John.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. Thank you, Skype, for allowing you to join us.
Yeah, you never know with Skype sometimes. It is funky.
Yeah, and Skype has not been our friend for like the last couple of weeks anyway, so.
Yeah.
But tonight it'll behave. So, the Midnight Watchman, what exactly is that? Now, I had mentioned it's a paranormal investigative group. What do you guys do? You founded it in 2007?
Basically, that's the year we've been using and I've been using. I've been looked into things with friends, you know, before that, but 2007 was the first time we really... the core group of us pulled together and decided to really look into things and not just hang out at locations. So, you know, so many groups, they'll tell you they've been doing it for, you know, 20, 30 years, but you don't like they kind of, I think it's, I don't want to say fishy, but they kind of stretch out, you know, what they've been doing. I mean, cemetery hopping and ghost hunting, I don't consider necessarily, you know, deep investigation. So I wouldn't count that if I was doing that a few years, you know, earlier. Not that there's nothing wrong with, you know, and, you know, trying to figure out what's out there. But, you know, since 07, we've been serious about it. And that's, you know, where we started, basically.
No, you also, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, you also are a founder of the Paranormal Dictionary, correct?
That is correct, yes.
And could you fill us in on what that is?
Basically, it is a Wikipedia for the paranormal. So anything paranormal should be there at some point with hopefully more community involvement. And by community, I do mean the paranormal community. That has been something I've been trying to get people to break down some walls here. Basically, because I've watched people argue over terms that they're actually talking about the same thing. And they agree with each other, yet they're arguing because they don't realize that, you know, they're talking about the same thing.
Yeah. Ghost or spirit.
Yeah.
That's a good example, you know, or a lot of different, like mental abilities. There's just so many different words that are the same exact thing, basically. And if you don't realize that, you're going to argue that, you know, you're right or you're wrong. And really, you're both agreeing on it.
Yeah, I just think, I think a lot of it, you know, in, I think in the paranormal, I think the way it just, it kind of just like took off in like the last like maybe 5 or 6 years. I mean, it's always been there, but I mean, it really, it's really come into the public eye in the last 5 years, I think. And it seems like everybody is in like competition. And like you said, who's right and who's wrong? Everybody's looking for the same thing. So whether you call a spirit or a ghost, is it really worth the argument? You know, I mean, basically you're looking for the same thing.
And that's correct. But for some people, it's they have to be correct. And yeah. I mean, I really noticed those terms being similar, using ghost and spirit as the example of the night here, a lot over the last few years, especially when I was starting to build my own database for definitions and stuff on the website, like so many groups have. You know, I was finding all this stuff that was very similar, and I'm like, that's kind of weird. I had added some of my own stuff that I didn't find, you know, in a few, in many of the places I looked. And then later on, I started to see that started to be popping up on other people's sites. That's not a big deal. I mean, it's not. I mean, you're sharing information. I don't have an issue with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it occurred to me how much copying and pasting was going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is, and again, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I was looking to have more of a uniformed place where this stuff could be. And obviously, you're going to have some debates on stuff like orbs and things like that. I mean, honestly, that's probably... I don't know if that's ever going to go away in the community.
Don't
but
even get me started on orbs, but go ahead.
But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those things where, you know, it's good to kind of have a neutral ground. It's not – I mean, even though I run the site, I don't have my opinions necessarily on there. I can't. It's a neutral ground, and that's what I try to stress to people. And I've had a few people who refuse to be part of it, not because they don't like the idea, but they're too afraid of people changing what they're putting up there for definitions.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I think it's good that you're doing that because, you know, I think that there, in the paranormal, unfortunately, there's a lot of ego involved.
Definitely.
And you got to put that on the back burner, you know, because you're not there for you know, you're not there for your own ego. Oh, you know, look what I found, and you know, this is an orb. And if somebody dares to differ from what you know you say, it becomes like an all out battle of the words. I mean, it's just like, what do you call that? Like verbal abuse to each other.
Yeah, it could be defined as that. I mean, we all have our opinions. I mean, that's just bottom line. We have our beliefs, our opinions, ways of doing things. And some of us might do it a little bit better than others on, you know, techniques or whatnot. But in the long run, it's really what works for you. And as long as if you're doing it for a client, they're comfortable with what you're doing.
Right.
That's the bottom line. There isn't much in between, you know.
Well, I think a lot of the problem, too, like as far as defining words, so to speak. I do a lot of debating, and one of the things we have to do at the outset is define our terms, or like you said, you're going to be arguing about the same thing, just different words.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, it, you know, it's good to have it in, quote, one place. And there's nothing wrong with discussing it either. I mean,
no. That's why the wiki format works nicely, because you can have those discussions on the back end if people understand it. Do I understand not everybody knows what a wiki is when I say that, or, you know, I get that. But is the people who I've taught and some of the groups that have decided to, I guess you could say, back it and use it, I think they're starting to see the benefits of it. Not just, you know, the information in it, but also literally on a marketing end, wikis are basically search engine hogs. You know, a term in there will be picked up quickly. So it's, all in all, it's a good concept. I hope more groups, you know, get involved. I mean, I have a group probably across the country right now, you know, at least one on each side of the country working on it besides myself, at least for their own team. Which is good. I'm hoping to get some more groups involved in different states, that we can start to get some of the regional stuff not just eliminated but looked at, because I think it'd be interesting to see what terms are regional. You know, like the soda versus soda pop type deal with the paranormal end.
Soda.
Soda.
But the idea is there, we have same thing, different term, you know, and it'll be interesting to see where maybe some of these problems are coming from. Was it, you know, like a southern term that maybe somebody out in California doesn't know? You know, it'd be interesting.
Yeah, no, it would be. And you're right. I mean, because there are, you know, people come from different regions and everybody has their, you know, like in New York, you know, we have our own terminology, and, you know, I can speak to another New Yorker and use a term or words and they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But if I use those same words with you, you'll be like, what?
Exactly.
But basically it's the same thing, you know, so.
So like when I say Bloomberg, you automatically think head slam.
Oh.
I had to get you on that one. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Anyhow, moving on from him. So now, how did you come about forming your the Midnight Watchman? And I like that name, Midnight Watchman. I like it. It's very catchy.
Yeah, I everything I do, I try to make sure it has a, I guess you call it a hook or something that's different, not just, and this is no offense to other groups that have like similar names, you know, as other groups, but I like to be creative and do something that's different, not just, you know, X County ghost hunters, you know, or whatever, you know, and that's just me. So that's where the name came about, pretty much, us brainstorming and, you know, me figuring out that this popped in my head one day, actually, after listening to a Harry Chapin song. I believe the lyric was, "I am the Midnight Watchman." And that reminded me that that sounds like such a cool name. So we went with it. And I wasn't sure I was going to keep it. We just used it to start, and I've never looked back on at least the name creation-wise. As for the group itself, like I said, we, as friends, used to go check out urban legends, you know, the covered bridges, the cemeteries, the places that, you know, you heard as a kid were haunted, you know, whatever. And we, you know, we looked at them, we hung out at them, you know, the standard things that every kid does at some point, you know, probably in their life. And I always wanted more than that. I mean, I loved reading about paranormal stuff. I grew up watching Unsolved Mysteries and even reruns from In Search Of and stuff like that. So I knew there was more things out there than what, you know, most people would look at. And it took me a long time to be able to find enough friends that were interested in it to seriously go about it. And what really happened was one of the original members, Tony, and his wife at the time went out to Gettysburg for a trip, family trip. They got some weird pictures in the orphanage in Jenny Wade House. And basically, like, when they came back, they asked me about it, knowing I was into that stuff. I looked at them, and I debated his wife on, you know, some of those pictures about what I thought they were and, you know, yada, yada. And after that dust settled from all that, I said to my friend Tony, I said, I wonder how hard it would be to investigate some of these places. And he goes, that'd be cool. And I'm like, I'm going to look into that. And I ended up contacting, I believe it's Ghostly Images that runs Jenny Wade House and that, and found out how easy it is to set up an investigation. And we set one up for a year later, and that was 07, and that's where we've been moving since then.
So your interest in the paranormal has been lifelong, would you say?
Yes, I would say so.
Yeah, I was a late bloomer.
What got you into it, though? What, like, do we know you're a late bloomer, and I've been interested in the paranormal my whole life as well, and I know what got me involved in it. But what happened to you that, you know, you can say that it's been a lifelong belief that you've had?
Well, growing up, the trailer we used to live in, I always thought was strange. My brother had stories, and everybody did, about stuff that happened in it. I mean, I can be honest with you right now. If I took my glasses off, I wear glasses, I can't see too far. But I can make out, like, if our dog would walk by, I'd see the dog walk by. You know what I mean? Blurry, but good.
Mm-hmm.
We had instances in that house and where we saw an animal walk through the, like, by the bathroom when the gate was up and the dog was in the living room sleeping. Like, the dog size. Saw stuff like that. My brother saw it. I've seen it. We can't explain that at all. Our grandmother was there for a little bit before she went to the hospital and passed away with cancer. After that, we all had some experiences in the house. I mean, I've seen a shadow person. I say house, trailer, to be correct. Saw a shadow person, which I believe was my grandmother. There's times that we all had experiences, just bottom line. Outside of the trailer, I'd, you know, push my boundaries as a kid because I'm just one of those people that tends to push boundaries. And, you know, strayed a little too far. And I heard someone call my name a couple times. And finally, I went back, you know, to ask my mom why she kept calling my name. And I found out that my mom wasn't calling my name. I talked to the neighbor and none of the neighbors were calling my name.
Oh.
But every time I went to go too far, I got called back to the trailer. It was interesting. And, you know, as a kid, you don't really think much about it. You're just like, well, that's weird.
Right.
And you just kind of move on. It's not really anything amazing. You just move on. But as I started to get older and we had more stuff like that happen, even the dog wouldn't go, didn't really like the one hallway where my grandmother's, well, my brother's room was, that my grandmother was in for a little bit before she passed away. And he'd even bark at the hallway sometimes. You know, we had all these strange little things, and there was a lot of other stuff that just, you know, piqued my interest, if you could say, that there's more out there than what we see.
Right.
That's interesting that you say that you've seen a shadow person, and you claim, you say it's your grandmother. Now, a lot of people will say a shadow person is, I guess, a spirit or some kind of energy that hasn't been born yet, and they usually associate it with something evil. But yet you're associating it with something good, which was your grandmother.
Yes. I'm not sure where that whole definition of a shadow person came from for evil. I kind of think to myself it's as simple as it's black, so therefore it's dark, and dark is dark energy in the literal term. I think that's what some people have used it for. I can't explain why other people believe things like that. I know what I believe. I know what I felt, and it was nothing negative. And I mean nothing negative. I've been around negative spirits and negative entities, and night and day is the best way to describe that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people picked up, like, you know, the negative of a shadow person and a lot of other things from the TV shows, you know, from Ghost Hunters. And, you know, I think Ghost Hunters is what kind of put it back on the map as far as, you know, people wanting to investigate. And, you know, and I think that people just kind of sometimes they investigate and they kind of just take what they've learned from TV and they say, oh, okay, well, you know, so-and-so said that black figure, you know, is a shadow person. So therefore, if they said it, then it's got to be true.
And that is the shame of a lot of the reality, quote unquote, TV shows that are out there for paranormal. I talked at Delaware Valley College to a couple classes in the last 3 years, and I'll tell you what, the first thing I told them before I even, after I introduced myself, was what I believe is what I'm telling you. It by no means I am correct. You know, I put that out there, and it threw some people off because they're expected to, you know, an investigator coming in to talk to them about that type of stuff, they're expecting to be told how it is. And in reality, you know, I don't know if you two agree with this, but we really don't know what we're doing in a lot of times going out there. We just try stuff.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I mean, and I think, like, for me, I don't really investigate for some. I'm more into the metaphysical aspect, but one of the things I see and that I like is that when you get a group of people together, they're willing to try different things to try to get repeatable results, or, you know, to beat off the cynics, so to speak. I think that's what keeps it alive. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we all agreed, we'd have a problem. We wouldn't get anywhere.
Definitely wouldn't. And that's part of the problem, I think, with some of the pieces of our community, is that people want everybody to agree so bad that they try to force stuff versus teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody wants to be taught, which is fine. I mean, you have people who are stubborn, and, you know, that's personality traits.
Yeah.
That's, as long as you understand that, and, you know, they'll figure it out on their own, or they won't. And that's, at that point, there's nothing you can do about that, trying to help them. And so many people get so stuck up on this notion that they have to, like, for lack of a better term, save the paranormal community from itself, that they become paranormal sheriffs. It's just as bad as the grammar Nazis on posts online. It's ridiculous. I mean, they have good intentions, but it comes off the wrong way.
Yeah. Would you say that would be the impetus for why you're doing your paranormal journeys? Is to educate people.
Educate, and also, the one thing I've noticed about a lot of the conventions that have been going on, at least the bigger ones, is they're not accessible to really families or everybody, and there's so much going on that you really don't get to talk to anybody. I mean, sure, mm-hmm. you might get an autograph, you might get a few seconds, but you don't really get to talk. You spend your time more in line versus, you know, actually talking to a group or a person or a, you know, whoever. And that's why I honestly refuse to pay anybody to come out to my event, like as the speakers.
Mm-hmm.
I refuse to pay. I look from, you know, Jason or Grant to, you know, David Roundtree, some of the other people. And honestly, it just came down to me going, you know what? If I want a family-friendly event that's, you know, the people who are in the front line of the paranormal, the ones out there investigating consistently, there's no way I can do this and bring those people in, because you're going to start having these huge coverage charges, and then the mm-hmm. event gets just to be too big.
Right. I mean, I understand, you know, you have to cover your cost, you know, like mm-hmm. maybe the location that you're having it, and,
exactly.
you know, kind of promote it. I mean, so, you know, I mean, it is going to cost some money, but like you said, I mean, some of these people, they want, like, you know, like outrageous, like, fees. You know, they're plus, superstars.
Yeah, plus other things, mm-hmm. comps or airfare or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I pretty much told their agent that that's not happening.
Now, you see, that's an agent. I mean, this is what I don't get, John. I mean, you know, like I said earlier, everybody is, you know, we're all kind of looking for the same thing. And this is why I say, like, the ego is kind of, all of a sudden, they start to fall all over the place. Because why do paranormal investigators, why do we need agents? Do you know what I mean? To me, an agent is entertainment. For entertainment purposes, when you're a superstar, then you need an agent. Like, I don't know.
I can understand.
Maybe it's just me.
I can understand, like, I'll use Jason and Grant as an example, or anybody that has a hit TV show, quote unquote. They probably get a ton of requests. So mm-hmm. an agent in that situation is beneficial, I think. Still not sure I agree with it, but it's kind of what
well, it goes with the
get.
TV territory, so, yeah.
Yeah, but when it comes to some other people who all they do is lecture and some other stuff, it's like, well, if you can't keep track of your own schedule, and this is no offense to some of these people, but I don't think you're that much in demand.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know when I talked to a few people, they had nothing planned when I initially planned this expo, and they probably still don't for that weekend. So mm-hmm. it's not, I mean, to me, it's like it's, a couple people, I know that they do it for extra money. This is their side thing when they talk about mm-hmm. paranormal. Mm-hmm. But at least they were honest with me about that. Some of the other ones, I'm not too sure. I think they try to make a career out of it. And
It's hard to make a career out of the paranormal.
It is, especially if your goal is basically learning and teaching. You can't really make money off that because it just doesn't work. It's like mm-hmm. scientists. They don't really make money per se to do what they're doing for discovery because of the discovery. You know what I mean? It's like a circle.
Right.
It's almost like you're
mm-hmm.
taking the back end and trying to put it in the front. It doesn't work that way.
Right. Wow. Now, what do you think about some groups that may charge clients to come and investigate?
I'm against that, but I do think that there's certain situations you can request it. Like, if you're, like, for example, me being in PA, if someone goes, "I want you to come out to California,"
mm-hmm.
you know, if we can't afford it, that right. might be our stipulation that then you have to help with this.
Okay.
You know, and I think that's okay in those type of situations.
Right,
but
right.
to flat out say, you know, "You're my neighbor and you want me to investigate, I need $50,
mm-hmm.
is wrong.
Right,
I think
right.
that's wrong. It's not right. out of your realm.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So now, you are doing what's called the Paranormal Journeys, and that's going to be September 21st and 22nd. And it's going to run from 10 a.m. to 6 both days, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Where exactly is Lansdale, PA?
Lansdale is about, I believe, 40 minutes from Philly, west of Philly.
Okay.
Give or take, depending on traffic. As we know, Philly's probably in reality 20 minutes from Lansdale, but because of traffic, it's never, ever going to be that quick. But
right.
mileage-wise, anyway.
Yeah.
So it's not far from Philly. The hotel that we're having it at is near the 309 and a few other different entrance exits for bigger roads, so it shouldn't be hard to find even with a GPS.
Okay, now what I find very, very unique about your expo, and one of the reasons I'm considering coming, is that your admission is free,
mm-hmm.
but what you're doing is taking a $2 donation for the lectures.
Yes.
And can you explain a little more how that's going to work?
Well, basically,
or is it just pretty straight up?
it's pretty straight up. What the donation cost is covering, and this is the basically what our thought process was. When we started this, we were looking for a couple charities to come out and, you know, basically give them free spots to just fundraise. And then from there, we choose one of the charities or all of them and take the donated money from the tickets and donate it to them. And we're still going to do that. The only charity that we have coming out as of right now is Mana, which is a soup kitchen that's actually in Lansdale up the road from here.
Okay.
I plan on giving basically our cut of the ticket sales to them, whatever that'll be, which we won't know till we get there. I hope it's, you know, a huge number for them, but, you know, we really don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah, I think that's kind of cool. I mean, I went to my first convention, and, you know, although I was a guest of friends of mine's, it was just, even just on the vendors, I mean, I spent a boatload of money, so it's just like, wow. But I think I like the idea that you're, you know, letting people in for free, but and then if they want to go to the lectures, they can.
That's the idea.
Don't necessarily, you know, because you almost like when I know. I mean, I've been to other conventions, you know, for different, Star Trek when I was in college and stuff, and I almost felt like I had to because I paid all this money, had to go to every single lecture or everything. You know, it was like this way you can kind of pick and choose.
Yeah, we originally were going to have this at a haunted location that was a church, and we would have actually had the lectures doubled up both days so that mm-hmm. you could miss it on a Saturday and you could still catch it on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, the some issues with the church fell, you know, caused that whole deal to fall through. So we only have the lectures, you know, that day, you know, that not doubled up. So if you miss it, you miss it. But next year, if we run this, I'm hoping we can get a little bit bigger location and do some things differently. But my whole thing is basically to make it a family more type event because, you know, mm-hmm. some of these events are so expensive before you just to get in the door. That's not even
yeah.
to get like an autograph or buy anything
mm-hmm.
or even food if they have it there. You know, it's just we don't need to be one of those, you know, events that is so overblown it's ridiculous.
Right. You know what? Why don't we take our break, and then when we come back, we could hear more about the expo and, you know, talk about some other things. Maybe you can tell us what was your favorite investigation. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Soul Food here on Paramania Radio.
Oh, Through the world of parapsychology by exploring the human mind, the spiritual realm, and all the unlocked doors of the universe. The Skeleton Key. Hosted by Paranormal Sarah every Tuesday at 11 p.m. Eastern. Only here on the Paramania Radio Network. For more information, visit www.paranormalsarah.org.
You are listening to Paramania Radio.
And welcome back to Soul Food here on Paramania Radio. And tonight we have with us John Fowler, the founder of the Midnight Watchman. And we're talking, you know, paranormal. And he's actually, John, we were discussing before break the event that you're going to be having in September.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, where were we at now?
I know, I kind of just like cut you off there, but our producer Dave, he's so cruel if I'm not on time with our break.
That's fine. Well, basically, I think we're at the family-friendly part, is what I was saying near the end there. We don't want to overcharge people, and we want them to be able to explore as much as they can, you know, from the different groups and then vendors, and hopefully the lectures are interesting for everybody. And so far, I mean, honestly, our topics are pretty varied. I think it should be interesting for people. It just depends whether you know, people decide they want to come out and, you know, take a listen.
Yeah. Now, speaking of your speakers, can you tell us who all you're going to have and maybe what they're going to be touching on?
Sure thing. Well, we're going to have Dave Giuliano from the Ghost Hunter Store in South Jersey Ghost Research speaking on the dangers of ghost hunting. They aren't what you think. We'll have Kenny Biddle talking on the long exposure in the excuse me, I can't even talk. Long exposure photography in the paranormal. We will have Chad from, I can't think of it, 11th Hour Paranormal, talking about ethics and morals in the paranormal, along with a Ghost Box session and 101 from Jenny Stewart.
Our very own.
Yep, you should know Jenny. We have Jennifer Stein from MUFON, who'll be talking about crop circles in the United States with a Q&A to follow that. So I think that should be interesting, to say the least. That's something that you don't see too often at some of the paranormal conventions is the MUFON end, at least not in a serious part of it anyway. We have Daniel Stimson, who will be talking about shamanism and working with the deceased. We have Rebecca Lynch, who's going to talk about preserving... Well, I'm sorry, it's not Lynch anymore. It's Brumble. I should be correct on that. Yes, she'll probably hurt me if I don't correct myself. Preserving history through the paranormal investigation. Michael Carroll will be talking about investigating through adversity and true dedication. Frank from New Jersey Rope will be talking about paranormal safety and protection. And Kendra Kittle will be talking about her experiences in the paranormal. So it should be pretty interesting. Very varied.
Yeah, you got a lot of interesting topics.
And I hope people enjoy them. I mean, I'm always honest. I really don't know what's going to happen at the event. I hope it is a big, you know, turnout, but you never know.
Yep.
You know, now, go ahead, Jenny.
Go ahead. No, I was just, he mentioned that somebody was going to be there talking about the crop circles and, you know, and, and lately I find myself being very fascinated with UFOs and, you know, I was always like, you know, UFOs. I mean, who knows? Maybe there is. Who am I to say there isn't? But, I don't know. I'm kind of fascinated with that now. So that would be a lecture that I think that I would, like, that would be the first one I'd want to go to.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that MUFON in the last, I think, 2 years has been reaching out to paranormal teams and investigators more than I believe they had in the past. So it's kind of interesting to see these two communities that are considered separate when they're really not. They're both paranormal. They're right. You know, above the norm for experiences. They were just treated as separate things starting to come together a little bit more. I think it's amazing. The only thing I'm missing at this event right now is some stuff about cryptozoology, which I was trying to get some people to come in for that, and I just haven't had any luck, unfortunately, at this point. It's the only piece I'm missing, I think, that we haven't really touched on in this whole event.
So here's your opportunity, John. You know, anybody out there who is a cryptozoologist and, you know, and who's serious about what they're doing, maybe they should try to look you up and give you a bio or whatever on what they do.
Yeah, we still have some spots open for table spaces, basically. So we're always looking for groups, and I want, you know, the event to be full. And any group out there that's listening that's, you know, local or wants to travel for this, you know, basically jump on the website, midnightwatchman.com, and find the Paranormal Journeys page and, you know, send us an email. Let us know if you want to come out.
Serious inquiries only.
Of course. Especially at this point. Since it's a month from now, you know, all the good stuff I need, the paperwork and all the fun things, the waivers we need signed have to be in before any spot is officially assigned. The good old legal part of running events.
Yeah. Now, that's the fun part.
Now, this is actually the first one for you guys?
Yes.
As far as... Okay, because I've been kind of following it as you when you first announced it, and as you've been building it up, I've been watching the website, and to be honest, I'm really impressed because for the first event that you've actually put on yourself, I mean you have a pretty good as far as your vendors list. I mean, well, yourself and Paranormal Dictionary, you got Shadows Radio, Spirit of PA, Danielle's going to have a booth. You got people from MUFON. I mean, you got a wide, you know, a couple different teams coming in. I just was like, wow, he's really...
Yeah, it's very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, and we would have had a little bit bigger group of attendees if it wasn't for some of the other expos in the area this month as well. and I say the area just generally talking from Jersey to New York to, you know, Maryland and even around there. There's a lot of expos that weren't even on the books when I announced this that popped up afterwards. It's just kind of interesting how that came about. But I still stand behind this as the most family-friendly one.
Well, yeah, I mean, free admission, $2 for the lectures. You got a lot of vendors. I mean, now what? Now, as you said, family friendly, and I got to ask this. What is your take on kids in the paranormal?
You mean like going on investigations? Like, and
well,
that,
yeah.
Well, it depends on a lot of factors. I mean, honestly, age would play into it. If you're not at least, I would say 16 at youngest, and even then I'm not sure that it still depends on your maturity level.
Mm.
You know, that's a big part of it. Just like, you know, some people who are 12 might be more mature than people who are 40. And both ways, you know, it happens. But I would say a general rule of thumb is if you had usually most groups go with the junior member status.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually people who are under 18 and they only do certain things. Like, for example, they'd help with the expo, but they wouldn't go out on, you know, residential cases.
Okay.
And I'm okay with that for the most part. I know we've never run into that situation. I've had a few younger people contact us, and basically the first step, like I told them, was you need to talk to your parents and make sure, one, it's okay before we even decide to make a decision. Because I'm not going to get stuck in that position, you know, that they just did something and they didn't have permission for, you know.
Right.
And usually that ends it right there.
Yeah. But you know what? I mean, there are a lot of kids, minors, or whatever we want to call them. You can't call a kid anymore because they get like crazy. They're not children. But a lot of them really, you know, they're interested in the paranormal, and they're not educated as to what the paranormal really is. And they try to imitate what they see on TV. And I'm afraid that there are some kids out there that are going to get themselves, you know, you open up that Pandora's box and you never know what's going to jump out at you because of the lack of education.
That's very true. I mean, to give you a good example on a positive side, but one of our former members was worried about protection going out on cases. And that was one of his biggest things was, you know, him worrying about protection. And I told everybody in my team when they're brought in that I can give you ideas how to do that, but everybody does it their own way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not much of a help besides just kind of telling you about like how I do it, and that may make no sense to like them, and most of the time it won't. He was worried about it. Frank from New Jersey Rope, after we met him, invited us out to one of his training seminars he does for his groups, and it was on protection. It's kind of the same one he's running for the expo, I believe. And it turns out from my member that after talking with, you know, through this lecture and about the safety, he already knew what to do. His grandmother taught him the same stuff when he was younger. He just never knew
what she was teaching him.
Yeah. And it made him so much easier to deal with when it came to investigations because he was kind of scared of investigations because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what we told him, it didn't make sense. It finally clicked in that safety and protection course that Frank did.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny that, you know, people tend to actually do things they see on TV, whether it's right or wrong. But then some of the best stuff they can do for themselves, they've already been taught and just don't realize it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, bottom line, they just don't realize it.
Yeah. Because I see a lot of, you know, like my son, you know, he's not a kid anymore, but he's a kid, but he's 20. But he was interested. I grew up at the paranormal because my mom was involved in it. And he's seen it. You know, he sees the shows that I do and, you know, and whatnot, the shows that I watch or, you know, just whoever I interact with, and he and his friend as well. But this is going back a couple of years ago. And now, Dune, now how many times we've spoken about like pagan, you know, and Wiccan and all of that. And because of certain shows that he had seen on TV, they always tried to interpret like a Wiccan as somebody who's bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's bad. It's witchcraft. It's bad, bad. Well, he and his friend decided to go and investigate on their own without knowing what they were doing. An old abandoned hospital, and there was like a pentagram or some sort. And his friend said to him, "Oh, don't go near that. That's a pagan symbolism. And if you touch it, you know, you're a bad witchcraft." He came home and he was, I mean, now he almost like wanted to sleep with me. That's how afraid he was. I touched it, Ma. I touched it. And I said, first of all, pagan is not, you know, whatever. But this, but my point is like the lack of education, you know. Mm-hmm. He went there, and who in the hell knows what they were doing in that building.
Yeah.
Well, and the truth is, using the pentagram, it's depending which way it's facing tells you everything. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's
mm-hmm.
And that's something some people don't realize either. There's a upside downside to that,
right.
Basically, and good bad.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't realize that, you're going to assume as soon as you see one that it's automatically whatever, negative
right.
or good, depending on
mm-hmm.
what you're brought up. More than likely, if you don't know anything, you're going to say it's negative.
Right.
Because that's
mm-hmm.
what popular culture has. You know, from movies, it's always, it's you see a pentagram, there's something bad happening or
right,
will happen
right.
or has.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, anyway, but enough with that. But so, John, what is, out of all the investigations that you have done, is there any investigation that, like, really sticks out in your mind that, I guess, kind of, like, really, I don't want to, scared you? I mean, no.
Well, I would say two stick out in my mind. The one is in Gettysburg, which is the orphanage. That was the first investigation I've ever done where as soon as I walked down in the basement, I felt such an oppressive negative energy. It's almost like you had two people yelling on either side of you, arguing with each other, and you're just stuck in the middle. That's the best way to describe that feeling. It was the first time I ever ran into that, and it was just as soon as you took like two steps down the basement, then when you were down there, it was that whole energy vibe. But leading up to that investigation that weekend, I knew something was going to be interesting for that place just because I had that gut feeling. And our hotel was, you could see the orphanage from the hotel, and I looked at it for the 3 days we were there before investigating and just knew that there'd be something interesting when we do that. You know, you don't know at the time what that is usually. You just get that feeling that, you know, something is coming in a way.
Mm-hmm.
We investigated that, and it was amazing for that. And then who we met that day as a group, like one of my best friends I met was a tour guide there, and now she's a member of our team. You know, so much changed that day for even me and thought process on psychics and people with, you know, gifts. A lot of things changed that investigation. And I've also never seen K2 meters and EMF meters and some other things do some weird jumps and spikes and responses ever until that day. And still haven't seen it since. And
wow.
We're pretty good about debunking. So for me to still kind of say that's unusual, I think it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you ever have anything like actually touch you or, you know, be violent with you, you know?
No. Not really. A few times, like the orphanage again, that investigation, I felt like I was going to get hit. One of my members decided to, you could call it provoking, the spirit Rosa that's there, basically using, she was supposed to be a Christian woman who did many bad things to children. So he took a Bible rant on her, basically. As he's doing that, I had the temp drop around me to the point I was shivering, yet I couldn't get a reading on our thermometer that could prove it. It was saying room temperature. Yet I was actually teeth chattering cold as he's doing that. And I kept having that feeling like someone was going to slap me or throw a punch at me.
Mm.
Like it was bad and nothing happened, but it was almost like something was trying to get me to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just let him go and do his thing because that's just the way we worked at the time. You know, there was
mm-hmm.
a good cop, bad cop element to how we ran.
Right.
How we ran the group at that time versus today.
Mm-hmm.
And that STEMI's in Easton, in their basement, it was, we're doing a shack hack session, basically ghost box. And we were getting a lot of cursing through it, which was interesting. I always think that's interesting when you get cursing through any of them because, you know, it shouldn't happen. And it was getting to the close to the point of, I felt like, the best example would be like if you're in school and you have a fight breakout and everybody's around you. It was like
mm-hmm.
that feeling. You had everything, like people all around you, but you know it was just the three of us, and everybody was uncomfortable that was down there at that point because you had the cursing, which was a first for us. You had that uneasy feeling, and it was just kind of crazy. Nobody got
mm-hmm.
touched or anything,
mm-hmm.
but it was just that feeling that was so strong. It was, and it was nothing like it.
Wow. I don't know. I would I'm not so much into like the provoking. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that it's necessary to provoke a spirit? I mean, if they want to communicate with you, they will on their own accord. I mean, is it really necessary to like say, oh, you know, you're this, that, and, you know, just provoke them to try to get them to respond to you?
I think the provocation, as in like you just walk in and start challenging them, is bad. It's another thing if you have stuff that's, you get to the point in an investigation where like, well, like I was saying, the orphanage where you had, I feel like I was going to be hit. If you, you know, your natural reaction might, like for me, might be either do it or leave.
Mm-hmm.
And to some people, that's provoking. And I wouldn't disagree with that, but it's also a natural reaction. And I think it depends on what you go in trying to do. I think if you go in attacking the spirit or whoever, whatever's there, and basically mm-hmm. trying to force them to do something just because, I'm against that. If it's a natural flow into it, like where something's playing with you in a way that you don't feel comfortable with,
mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a problem with you pretty much going, you know, to them, you knock it off and do this instead.
Right.
You know, and even if it's harsh language, it doesn't matter. I mean, I've been accused of provoking with my normal talking to them. And see, that's the thing too. It depends. Like if you're like, I can be energetic and very forceful. It doesn't mean there's a negative thing to it.
Right.
And that's the thing that I think people need to pay attention to when they're talking about provoking. There's a couple different ways to look at it generally. I mean, one person's provoking might be somebody else's mellow, and it could be vice versa to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just styles too. But generally, like just walking into a location and not, you know, even trying to ask the normal questions. Yeah, and challenging, that's bad.
Yeah, like walking in there, you know, like with your guns blaring. And I mean, like, you know, like you said, I mean, there's all levels of provoking, you know. And like you said, you don't sound that, but you have such a nice voice. I can't imagine how you would go in there and sound like you were provoking.
Like I said, sometimes it just depends how you word things. And I know what, when you ask a spirit sometimes to do something for you to prove they're there, some people think that's provoking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I said it comes down to just what you believe. And if you're already annoyed that night at something, like I usually go back to the orphanage, you know, if I'm already annoyed, I feel like I'm going to be hit. I may not be as nice saying that as I should be, but there may not be a negative context to what I'm saying. It's just you're more worked up, you know, and it comes off differently.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Wow, well, we only have like 3.5 minutes left doing so.
John, you want to give out your websites again where people can get in touch with you?
Sure. ParanormalDictionary.com, which, of course, is pretty straightforward there, ParanormalDictionary.com. That's for everything paranormal. My paranormal group is MidnightWatchman.com. And Paranormal Journeys is on both of those sites. You type it in, you'll find it. It's a main link on the Watchman page. If not, you can type it into Paranormal Dictionary. It'll come up. And you can still find a link back to the Midnight Watchman from there as well if, you know, someone is interested in joining us as a vendor or attendee.
Okay, that sounds like a good idea, and hopefully I'll work out so I can come to the expo. I have the time off. It's just getting from point A to point B.
Yeah, I just switched jobs, and actually they put me on that weekend, so I'm still trying to figure out how that's going to work.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Well, you better figure something out quick there, John.
Well, I was honest with them. I said, I can't work this, and they put me on anyway. So I'm like, well, either I'm not coming in that day, or they're going to need to fix it. So something's got to give, you know?
Oh, that's a horrible time to switch it.
Yeah.
Well, it was needed, unfortunately. But, you know, life goes on.
Yeah.
Yep, sure does. But anyway, we want to thank you, though, John, for being with us tonight. And good luck, and I hope everything works out with the expo. I hope you have a great turnout, and it's, you know, everything that you were hoping it to be.
Thank you. I love being on here, so it's always fun to meet different people and, you know, see what they have to ask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, we can have you back, you know, again, and maybe bring a member of your team with you, you know, and we can chit-chat some more about the paranormal.
That sounds fun. I know some of my team is kind of shy when it comes to this stuff, so it's
please, we'll get him to talk. Don't worry about it.
That's a challenge, that's for sure.
Well, all right. Well, I guess we'll come to that road. We'll cross that road when we come to it. But Doom, what's coming on for tonight?
Well, tonight we have On Course After Us, but starting tomorrow, 6 p.m., full lineup all night, straight through till midnight on Thursday. So a lot of good stuff coming up.
So. Very cool. All righty then. Well, thank you again, John, and we want to thank everybody for listening to Soul Food, and we hope you have a great night and great week, and we will talk to you all again soon. Have a great night, everyone.
Peace, y'all.